Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Triangulation, episode 175, recorded Monday, November 10th, 2014. Damon Wayans. Triangulation is brought to you by Personal Capital. With Personal Capital, you'll finally have all your financial life in one place and get a clear view of everything you own. Best of all, it's free. To sign up, go to personalcapital.com/triangulation. It's time for Triangulation, the show where we get some of the most interesting people in technology together and we get to talk and you get to interact with them. You're the third leg of the triangle, the chat room. And if you're watching live, we love having you here. And look who we have as our guest today. I'm very excited to welcome Damon Wayans to our studio.
Hey, throwing up a triangle.
There you are. You could be one side of that threesome.
That is. That's the new Rockefeller thing.
Is it?
Rockefeller. Yeah. You see, you got the triangle. Now you got to incorporate that
into everything I do.
Yeah.
We used to have a show that was this, but now
that's not it. This is it.
That's a parallelogram.
That's it.
Okay. Okay. I'm a little starstruck. It's great to meet you.
It's nice to meet you.
Yeah. Man. And what's interesting is that you are, and you said this yourself, transitioning from a life of celebrity as a comic, as a producer, as a writer, into technology.
And as you said, I was getting old.
Hey, I say that from looking down on the young people.
No, I
think Hollywood, you said this, is a young man's game somewhat.
It's a young man's sport. And with like 4K and 6K, it's going to get even
you
younger.
You look good. You're practically in 100K here.
No.
You look great. You don't look old.
Especially, I have a son that does it.
Your son's doing great, by the way.
And he looks a lot younger and handsomer. So it's like the new and improved model came out. Now I'm like the 1960 caddy. Yeah.
Did you encourage Junior to?
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy. He's out of my pocket. I don't have to pay for his.
I was talking to Seth over here, your friend.
Yes. Future son-in-law.
Oh, congratulations!
Yes,
that's exciting. And
child out of wedlock.
Him or the dog? Never mind. I don't want to know. But he was talking about, we're talking about creativity, because he says you're always thinking, you're always creating. And Seth and I, we're talking about, I think many of us know somebody like that who's free and can just create. And that is a wonderful thing. Did you get that as a kid? I mean, your whole family, of course, is creative.
Yes, my family is, you know, there was 10 children, you know, and
not all of them went into showbiz.
No, five of them.
That's a lot.
Which is pretty good odds. You know, half of the tribe went into showbiz. And the other half is actually really talented and funny. They're just scared of the rejection.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So, but that's what separates us. So they're basically living off of us.
So we were talking about the creativity in the family. Your dad was in show business, right?
No.
He was not?
No. My mom sang at the Apollo with her sisters, the Green Sisters. And my dad was just an obnoxious guy. And I think we got our outgoing personality from him and my mom.
The performer.
The performer. So we just like always, like my dad was the friend of the friendless.
That's neat.
He would just bring home strays and you go, Dad, who is this guy? You know, he had a friend named Josh who looked like his lips went from here to here. And he was just the ugliest man on the planet Earth. And this was my dad's friend. And my mother was like, you need to get that ugly man out of my house. I can't eat. My mom had a very honest sense of humor. She would just say whatever it was. And I think that's where we got that from.
That's the best, though.
Yeah.
Because it's real. It's not shtick.
It's not shtick.
It's real. You're talking the truth.
It's the truth, right. Get that ugly man out of my house. I can't eat.
Somebody, though, it must have been your mom and dad, gave you permission, right?
Said,
create.
Well, here's what they did. So there was 10 children, my mother and father, and we lived in the projects. And so to keep us out of trouble, we had to be upstairs at 6 p.m., right? And care how old you are, unless you had a full-time job, which demanded you stay out later than 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock you were home, right? So, and at home, it would get very noisy because there's only, you know.
There's 12 of you.
Right, 12 of us. But my parents never said, hey.
Plus the guy with the Smile.
Ugly Josh. Yeah, we would make jokes about him. But my parents never said, hey, stop having fun. Mm-hmm. They would encourage us to play with each other. I know we were loud. I know we were loud.
Yeah.
But we had fun.
And did you do that with your kids? Did you kind of?
Yeah. Yeah. I used to have this house when I was married, and it was always filled with kids. Always had, like, all the kids from the schools, and they'd have sleepovers. This is before, you know.
Before YouTube and...
Well, before you could, that people would think to...
Oh, it's not safe, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Isn't that sad?
It's sad, very sad. Because I don't let kids spend the night in my house. Mm-mm. you ain't gonna set
you can't.
Me up.
Yeah. You can't. And it's really too bad. And you can't let kids play on the street anymore. I guess you couldn't play on the street either. Right. But
you know, my son, I have two sons, and back then they would bring their friends over, and they would play basketball. Yeah. We had this really beautiful basketball court. And my bedroom would overlook the basketball court, and they would be outside playing horse, and you'd have to take off an article of clothing if you missed.
Oh, yeah.
So by the end of the game, someone's butt naked running around the court, and I would be laughing. It's just the funniest thing in the world. But, you know, a guy like, you know, say Michael Jackson.
You can't do that now.
You can't do that. You know what I mean? That's sad. Like I couldn't even watch.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No,
I have to, like,
that would
go
be
in the house
a crime.
And, right. Let alone play.
I would never play.
No?
No, you don't want to get in their way. They're having fun.
They're having fun. Funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, I guess you're right. In a way, fear, and there's a lot of it now, gets in the way of that kind of openness and creativity and creation. The fear of rejection or, you know, all of that stuff. The fear of getting thrown in jail.
Fear of lawsuits.
That's a shame.
It is. It is, and I think it's a sad reflection on our society, but it is what it is.
You would think we would be getting freer.
Right.
That would be the natural direction, and that maybe technology and the internet, the ability for everybody to communicate, would somehow make it safer and easier, but it doesn't seem to.
No, it seems like it's getting actually worse, and we're losing our voices because we're actually trying to use, like, Twitter to express
140 characters
to express your rage. Go.
Yeah. Well, you'd put it in all in caps.
Right. Yeah, loud.
Loud.
And then retweet.
That's all you could do.
Right. Retweet.
Yeah, but not deep, not in profound or any way.
Sound bites.
It's sound bites. Worse than sound bites. It's a tiny sound bite.
Right.
That's interesting. You know, because I think Twitter has really appealed to, they call it the urban crowd, mm-hmm. right? It has somehow appealed to young people. People who haven't had a voice in, say, Egypt and the Middle East seem to have found a voice. And yet you look on what's on Twitter, and what isn't hateful is just gibberish.
Right.
Maybe we're just old men.
No, we're looking at it correctly.
I think we're correct.
It's hateful, and it's stupid. And it's anything sad. There are some things that mean something. The funny thing is, you know, to see guys who... try to, you know, they're out, like Diddy. I love Diddy. He's selling Ciroc. He's selling all these things, you know.
Water.
Yeah, you know, water, everything. And then he goes, give God his praise.
Meanwhile,
drink,
I got some water.
Yeah, drink Ciroc. God loves Ciroc.
Well, that's Twitter in a nutshell. You just described that. That's exactly what it is. But yet, you don't. You obviously love technology, and the reason we're here is because you're doing apps.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that we understand this. You're not the front guy.
No.
Because, you know, Tom Hanks came out with his typewriter.
I like it. I have it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
But somehow I don't feel like Mr. Hanks was really, like designing the typewriter.
No. I think... Well,
somebody came to him and said, hey, I got a typewriter. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know how
I shouldn't
it went
comment
down,
on that,
but I think it's a cool app because I love the sound of the typewriter.
Clickety-clack, yeah.
And you got all these different types of typewriters that you can download, which I think is pretty cool.
That's probably not a good example.
What I don't like about it is you can't edit.
Right.
It's just like a typewriter.
It's a typewriter.
Yeah.
So. They need a little virtual whiteout that you can paint on the screen, and then, now you got something, Tom. Mm-hmm. But it does happen a lot that celebrities are, you know, well, okay, I got a good one for you. Kim Kardashian's Hollywood. That was a game that existed.
Right.
And they went to Kim and said, you know, if we could just put you in this And it was. It's huge. But you don't feel like Kim had any real involvement in it particularly.
Well, she's really brilliant. She probably codes.
She coded. She wrote the whole thing. I think she did. I think she wrote the whole thing.
I actually had a game that I wanted to do called Kim Bigassian.
And, I'm glad you didn't do that.
Couldn't get it past.
So were you into technology always, or is this something new to you? When did you kind of start getting into this?
I love the tech. It started out like everybody in the hardware. I actually danced a jig when the iPad came out. I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And the iPod and the iPhone. Mm-hmm. You know, I just thought they were really cool inventions. You know, when you think about, you know, I traveled doing stand-up. And, you know, before, back in the 80s, I'd have to take a stack of CDs like this. And every time I go out, I had to fill my case with all the CDs that I want. And then I'd have my Sony, whatever that
the
was.
Walkman. Right, yeah, the Walkman. Yeah.
And then when the iPod came out and you could just have one device with all your song.
Yeah.
You kidding me? This is
amazing.
Great. Same thing with the books. You know, I travel with a lot of books. Now I got one book. I have 300 and something books I travel with at any time. It's amazing.
Do you write on the iPad? Do you write material
No? No, I went back to writing.
Something physical that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it just feels right. Mm-hmm. I've been buying these Mont Blanc pens,
and
it just feels great.
Really
nice. You
just
can't edit. The magic of the iPad is you can edit.
You can spend too much time editing, too.
Right.
That's actually one of the flaws of writing on a computer is you start messing around with it, and you never stop. It's like, well, let's move this here. Let's move this here.
The pen and paper keeps you moving forward.
It's linear.
You know, it just keeps you moving forward. You just cross it out and keep going. But you go back and you at least get out your first draft.
Right.
Whereas you can dicker around
forever.
With the thing forever and never get anywhere.
Right. They're at the, I think it's Experience Music Project. They have Neal Stephenson writes longhand. He's a science fiction author. Writes very, very, very long books. And he writes it with a fountain pen, just like you. And they have his manuscript, which is about 5 feet tall, and a whole and like eight boxes of disposable fountain pens that he went through writing.
That's cool.
It. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And this is a guy writing techno literature for a cyber audience. He likes to do it like that.
I think there's something about the hand-eye coordination, the feeling, and it switches you, I think, over to your right brain quicker when you're using the pen.
Right. So what happened that, so you like the iPod, you like the iPad, you like the iPhone. Did you suddenly say, gee, we should do some apps?
No. Well, here's what happened. I did a TV show, and it was very successful, went into syndication, and then I was bored. In the meantime, I have my son, Damon Jr., who, you know, having the name Damon Wayans was not helping him.
And interesting.
It's
worse.
Right.
We know your dad. Let's see what you do.
Right. So it's too much pressure. So I just kind of backed out.
Yeah.
Right. And I said, I'll go do something else. You go ahead and get your career off the ground.
You did this to get out of the way of Damon Jr.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, because he was having a hard time. And the truth was, I did something good. 5-year run. I'm cool. I need a little time off.
Yeah.
Right, so I just started thinking about doing an online sketch comedy show where I was going to, it was called Way Out TV. So I went out to the comedy community and I was taking young guys. I was teaching.
This is before Funny or Die.
Yeah, well, this is, I wanted to do Funny and Die. Meaning, if it wasn't funny, we'd take it off the. We'd kill it. Because to me, that's what Funny or Die should be. But they're about...
They're all funny, no die.
Right.
They need more die.
Right. When I was young, we used to play this game called Make Me Laugh or Die. So my brothers and sisters, we'd stand around. Everybody would sit down. Then one of us would have to get up and make everybody laugh. And if you didn't make everybody laugh in unison, then you had to die. And the die would be, okay, go drink my father's beer in front of him.
Oh,
so you'd have to go in the room with my father's beer
and
just
man.
Drink it and knowing you're going to get killed.
That is a tough crap.
Yeah.
What was your go-to in that stuff? Was it physical comedy? Was it jokes?
Probably making fun of Josh.
You know that guy in the living room?
Yeah.
He... And they all laugh. There's no way you cannot laugh at
that. We do impressions, you know, funny dances. It's basically little sketches.
You had your little improv group in the family.
Yeah, it's a very supportive one. But, you know, we're brutal.
Brutal, but supportive.
Brutal, but supportive.
It's got to be funny.
And so when I started doing, I wanted to do Way Out TV. And I was taking all these young comics, and I was paying them to write, direct, produce, and star.
That's cool.
In their own visions with the idea of me being the filter. Because I think the problem with YouTube is there's no filter. There's no one going, okay, that's good, that's bad. So you just have to dig so deep to find something good in a bunch of bad that it starts to become bad.
It's also bad because, I mean, imagine if all the stuff you did when you were first starting out and you weren't good was preserved forever.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to get good in public like that. And everybody who's doing YouTube, they're I mean, it's great they have an opportunity.
Right, but they need a filter.
You need a filter.
It's like I look at Justin Bieber being discovered online. Right. I look at, you know, all the people who came out, Dane Cook. Yeah. So there's 10,000 videos uploaded every hour.
More than that. So it's like millions a minute.
On YouTube.
Yeah.
And then from that, you have Justin Bieber. You have, you know, you have a handful. Why isn't there a filter on YouTube going, that's a star. We're going to make that guy's a star. We're going to make that guy a star. That girl, she's amazing. And then to find it, if you're going to use this as a way to develop talent or create talent or to introduce talent, I think it's probably a smarter way to go as opposed to here's my garbage dump for my videos.
Right. I'll make a counter argument, though, because there's also stuff on YouTube that the media powers that be would never say yes to. But the audience loves.
Right.
I think of things like Fred Figglesworth, who's the kids love him. He talks in a funny voice. It's extremely annoying. Annoying Orange.
Right.
Which mainstream media may never have allowed, never given a chance to, but somehow got discovered on YouTube because I think it's mostly because kids like it.
Right. They get hits. But they could get it to the masses quicker. If there was somebody,
it's a selection.
Yeah, if there was someone there going, that's good. We can do something with that. You know, who's overseeing? No one. It's just this thing.
So how did Way Out TV work? So it was an incubator, for comics, basically.
Right. And they would come in, pitch me an idea. I would sit with them and go, that's good. Try it like this, or the character. You know, you need a beginning, middle, and end for this character. And what's the second one going to be? What's the third one going to be? Because you need to have legs. You have to have some sort of longevity. I don't want to do one-offs. You know what I mean? Because I can't make that into a TV series.
There's so much value to having somebody like you who really understands this. Talk to these young, talented people and just kind of teach them the basics of the because there are basics to how you do this.
Right. And like,
how did you choose them?
You know, being in the comedy clubs, I know pretty much everybody who's funny. So I was going with people who I knew were funny. You know, my son, some of his friends.
I love this.
Yeah, it was fun for me. But that was back in 2006, 2007.
A little early.
Yeah, they didn't have 4G, didn't have, you know, the brands weren't putting money behind it. You know, it was a great idea, just, you know, a little too early in the game. So, but from that, I realized that creating content has become a sucker's game, and that the money's in the distribution, right? I went to my first conference, Digital Hollywood, and I heard a panel where the guy said, yes, we're going to monetize digital donations, content donations. And I was like, what? I threw up in my mouth. I was like, what is, you're looking at what I do as a donation.
It's a donation. Thank you.
That you make money off of.
Thank you.
Right.
Very nice of you to give us that.
Right. So I was like, I got to switch up. So
I look at YouTube that way. It's like, who's making money on YouTube? Well, maybe a few creators, but mostly YouTube.
YouTube is making a killing. Right. And you know.
And you're donating. Basically, you're creating great stuff, or maybe not great stuff, but you're creating stuff. You're giving it to them. And it's like a shell game or a pyramid with a hope that maybe I'll make some money.
Right.
Because look at those guys. It's like Vegas.
Exactly. That's a good analogy. Yes. It's like Vegas.
Yeah.
But I, you know, me being an artist, I was so determined to help empower artists. And then after, you know, going through it, I realized, you know what? I have to just create great tools for them, and I can't worry about how they monetize and all that. That's not my job, you know? So the first thing I came up with from Digital Hollywood was this app called FlickData.
Yeah.
Because I got all these different business cards.
I love the
cards.
Name.
Yeah, FlickData.
FlickData. Oh, data, I get it.
Yeah. But it's FlickData.
It's FlickData.
Put a little sexiness on
it. Yeah. So you put your business card in here. I did that. And now I could flick it to you?
Yes.
Just like that?
Yes. Was that an Android?
Yeah. So I pressed... Oh, you don't like that so much.
I'm having issues with iOS 8 and...
believe me, I know it. So I press the arrow. No, I'm not going to flick you my card.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't want you to know my phone number. You might be calling me.
Leo, man.
I'm just teasing you.
It's Jamie, man.
So you literally...
Flick it
I
like
love
that.
But I presume you both have to have
yes, like well, you should both have, but you can also flick to an email or flick to LinkedIn.
Oh, good.
You can
flick to LinkedIn. It'd be great.
Yeah. And then you can flip it over and put notes on it. You can put private notes.
That's cool.
You can put video. So you can say, my name is Leo.
You're into the video thing.
Love the video thing.
Because you showed me something. It's not out yet. It's going to come out Friday?
TV Heads.
Yeah.
Well, it's V Heads. I'm sorry. V Heads.
If you go to Damon's Instagram, you can see, because you're already using this.
Yes.
So it's Instagram.com/DamonKWayans.
Yeah, I can make a nice one with you right now.
And what it does is it embeds video into a still picture, kind of. Yeah?
So I took this picture of this guy.
Okay, is that Josh? What is the guy with the smile?
No, this is a guy on the streets of San Francisco.
Okay, yeah.
I can put a filter on it.
Uh-huh, look at that. That's nice. That's actually a nice picture.
And then I can go in and add some text over it, change the color of the text.
And this will be iOS coming out this Friday.
Yeah, and Android.
You're saying that you'd... It's easier to do something like this on iOS.
Yes.
But when you put it out only on iOS, people get mad at you. Like me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I understand why they get mad.
We feel left out.
Yeah. So now I can go in and...
Oh, this is cool. You're going to do his head.
Yeah. And I can record.
Yeah.
And give me $5.
I'm sorry, you probably got my laughter in there.
So now I have...
A little lower down here, so we can see it. Yeah, there you go. Oh, Lord.
Give me $5. And then I could post that on
Instagram.
Instagram or YouTube or...
Oh, my God.
This is a community, so you'll be able to post it to... right here to the V-Heads... Site.
Love it. All right, now, this is. I saw this stuff on your Instagram.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
You can video bomb other people's pictures.
Yeah, that's how I'm gonna get that out there. Is to just I'm gonna just go in and start video bombing people. And you can put up to two screens. It's very very sexy.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Now you charge for your apps. You don't give them away with in-app purchases.
This one's going to be free.
You're going to do that with this one.
Yes.
In-app purchase?
No. Right now, it's
free.
Just to build a community.
Oh, that's neat.
You know, because I look at Instagram and I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you see a photo and you just want to say something. That's what this is about. Letting you comment on this nonsense.
This is trouble right here.
Yeah.
You're starting something.
Yeah. Want to be starting something.
It's fun talking to Damon, isn't it? I want to talk more with him in just a second. Before I continue on, I want to talk more with you. I feel like Dad now. What's your plan for the future? Have you got a financial plan for your retirement? Or just, you know, the rainy day fund or that car you want or the buying a house? You've got to plan. What is it they say? Failing to plan is planning to fail? Personal Capital makes this really easy. Personal Capital is a place to go where you can, it's free software. You can get all of your financial assets in one place, one single screen dashboard. Your checking account, your savings account, your investments, your assets, the car, the house, the loans, the credit cards, all in one place. You can see where you stand And now you're keeping track of everything, but what's even better is you're probably learning something about where your investments are going, where you're spending too much money, for instance, for your 401k. They have a 401k calculator. They'll help you rebalance your investment. They even have, I love this, they have an Android Wear app with Personal Capital. It's actually literally real-time information about your investments on your watch. Personal Capital will show you how much you're overpaying in fees, how to reduce those fees, get tailored advice on optimizing your investment. Look, it's free. It takes just a minute to sign up. It works on every device you've got, including your computer. And it will help you understand where you're going, what you're doing, so you can make the best possible decisions. PersonalCapital.com/triangulation. PersonalCapital.com/triangulation. We thank them so much for their support. This actually started because their founder, Bill Harris, was a guest on Triangulation. It was really fun having him. And that was a couple of years ago. That's when I started using it, and I still use it today. It is awesome. PersonalCapital.com/triangulation. Damon Wayans is our guest. This is fun. We used to do a thing called Tech TV, and they said, we want celebrities on. And at that time, all it really was, because the celebrities weren't interested in technology, is like, well, what's on your iPod? And then they tell us what's on your iPod. And they say, thank you very much. See you later, Kenny Rogers. Right. That's it.
But it's actually, Kenny is on his
yeah, iPod. Now Kenny's actually more into technology, actually. He's doing a lot of interesting stuff. I think everybody's more into technology now.
I think you have
to be. It's our lives.
I think you really have to be. And, you know, what's interesting about, like, Hollywood. So, for the longest, movie stars didn't do TV.
That's right.
TV stars didn't do radio. Radio stars didn't do internet.
It wasn't much radio stars wouldn't do, but all right.
Right, okay. But now you have to do all.
Right. And it's not a stigma if you're, especially nowadays with the way TV shows are, it's not a stigma to do a TV, you know, miniseries or something on HBO. That's maybe even better than doing a movie these days, right?
Yeah, because, you know, well, now they do it like they pick them up in 10. So,
right.
Excuse me, traditional network will go, well, give us a pilot, let us see.
Right.
You know, let's see if we want to do it. And then you wait and they do whatever they have to do. So, you know, Netflix, they pick up your series.
They paid, what it was, $100 million for House of Cards.
Yeah.
You said, Kevin, anything you want to do, we don't need to see a pilot, just do it.
Right, but they're not giving away $100 million anymore.
the money's
good,
a little
good,
less.
Good marketing, yeah, good publicity. But, you know, I think they have a good business model.
It worked for them. I mean, they claimed we got enough new subscribers to watch House of Cards that it paid for it. The problem is people buy it. They watch House of Cards and then they leave.
Right.
Well, I don't know what the churn is on that.
What technology has done for content creators, though, is killed revenue streams.
Right.
So, for the consumer, right, it's great because I can watch 13 episodes of something that I really like.
We love it.
Right. Right. But as the content maker, there goes first run syndication, yeah, second run syndication, no DVD, right, no international. It's all one spot.
You got it all up front,
right,
or nothing.
Right.
And then I look at somebody like Taylor Swift who says, I don't want to give the impression that my music is not worth anything.
Right.
So I'm not going to put it on Spotify because that in effect is telling people, no, it's free. That's not quite true.
She can say that.
Not everybody can say that.
So, you know, like in the record business, they make their money off of one-hit wonders. They don't make their money off of Taylor Swift. You know, those are marquee names that
few of those
attract the one-hit wonders.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, she's privileged to be in the position where she can say, I don't want Spotify.
Nobody else can do that. So what do we do? How do we solve this? Because I know that the people who consume the content, like me, we want great music, great movies, great comedy, great TV shows. We want all that.
Right.
But what's happening is creators aren't getting paid. That's a problem.
Well, now you're what's happening is quality control has really gone the other way, where people just don't care. So instead of putting out a great album, I'm 54. I remember sitting down playing an album from
with the headphones on.
Oh my God!
Looking at the liner notes.
Yeah, and get up and flip it over.
It
was amazing, and you wear them out until they skip.
Yep.
Right. Now people play songs.
Right.
You don't play the whole album. There's very rarely, you know, that you'll sit and a singer come along with a well-crafted you know, CD that you have
There's no point.
Right.
Because they're going to buy the 99-cent single.
Exactly.
That's a sad thing. Now, again, Taylor Swift, who says this exact thing, she says, I don't write singles. Well, she does, but right. I write albums. This is a concept, the whole thing, from beginning to end. That's very old-fashioned. Nobody does that anymore.
And in these times, it feels very arrogant.
Yeah.
You know, from artistically, mm-hmm. she's right. But from a consumer, it's like, you know, shut up and give me the song.
Right.
Because Prince did this really cool thing. This is back in the day. He had this album called Crystal Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he released it digitally. You can get the CD. But you couldn't... it was just one continuous song. You couldn't
buy the 99 cent single.
You couldn't buy the 99 cent. It was one song. It was brilliant. And I think he sold like 800,000 copies or something ridiculous like that. But that was smart.
He's a good example of somebody who's really rebelled against what's happening.
Right.
He does not like it.
Yeah. He's an artist. Right. Artists are great and they're necessary. I think the biggest problem with tech today is there is no meeting of the minds with the creative community and the tech community. So the tech guys keep inventing these really cool things, and then they get bored with them and create something else.
Yeah.
The creative people are going, wait, ho,
yeah,
that's
slow
good.
Down. Let me play with that for a while.
Let me play with that. But if they played with it together and said, oh, well, why don't you do this? Well, understanding, like I like your soundboard over here. Mm-hmm. That's a great setup. But mm-hmm. that can be a cookie cutter. The way that's set up would work on so many different
shows. We publish
all
the information anybody needs on our wiki so that people could see what we use.
Because
I want other people to do this.
It's great. It's cutting edge.
Well, what we're doing is so different than broadcast. It's internet only.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to make it so you can afford it. It's consumer-grade technology. What, instead of 22 people in a studio, it's one guy.
Right. There's probably 21 unhappy people right now, but
they're out of work. Sorry about that, guys.
But it's
maybe
great.
You should do an app.
Yeah, there's an app for that.
There's an app.
Yeah, it's called Unemployment.
I do worry about that. In fact, we talk about that a lot. Larry Page recently gave an interview. He said, the founder of Google, he said, people are going to lose jobs. And he said, the way we're going to solve this is by making everything a lot cheaper.
No. Because if I'm broke, I can't even buy the cheap version.
It's not going to solve it. I'm out of work.
Right.
Out of work. Everybody needs work. They need work that fulfills them and lets them do something.
Right. There's an arrogance, too, in the tech community, which is...
That's what I think we're seeing.
They'll find something else to do.
Yeah, that's what I think we're seeing.
I don't know. When the driverless car comes along, what else is the guy who bought the donut? He's, like, committed. The guy who is a truck driver and he spends... he knows every little spot on what does he do?
3% of the workforce, 3% drives for a living.
Right.
Buses, trucks, cabs. Fortunately, I don't think we're imminent for the self-driving vehicle, but that's 3% of the people who be out
one.
Of work.
I want one. I want to drive.
That's the problem. This stuff is sexy. You want it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want the iPod. You want the iPhone.
The Tesla. Yeah. I want to do
this. You don't have a Tesla?
I want to do this. And drive, get there.
And it doesn't even make noise.
Yeah.
Hums down the road.
It's sexy.
I think part of it is that the geeks, and I guess I'm in this group, that create this stuff, we don't really like people. One of the reasons we became geeks, you probably noticed this, is because we like we're more comfortable in the machine world, in the world of engineering, of computers, of coding, than we are sitting and talking to people.
Well, I'm a people person, and I hate people, too.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I like the concept of people.
The concept is great.
People ruin it.
I love people. It's just you I'm not so crazy about. You know what I mean? So that's probably pretty normal.
Yeah, I think it is. And I understand, how techies think, because the it doesn't talk back to you.
Right.
It doesn't disagree
with you. It does what
you
tell it to.
Exactly.
And there's a challenge because it does what you tell it to. So you have to be very careful about how you tell it.
And it's only going
to
do what you tell it to do.
Precisely.
And that's, you know, it's almost like the game of golf,
yeah.
where is you're competing against a course.
Yeah.
So you're competing against the code. And if you code right, it's going to do amazing things. If you don't,
you put a
you're going to get that error message. Yeah.
yeah. So we got to figure out a way to get the people who create technology to talk more to creatives, to people.
I think so.
Hollywood has asked that for years. I mean, there's always been a divide between Silicon Valley and L.A.
They need Digiwood.
Digiwood. And they talk about that a lot, or Sillywood. Right. They talk about that a lot, and convergence. For decades, we've been talking about that. But is it your sense that the creative community is not heard by the technology community?
I don't know if it's not heard. It's not, you know, there's egos on both sides.
Yeah.
And the ego is, oh, well, they're not talking to me. I won't talk to them.
Right.
And that's the wrong. You need an ambassador, someone to come and go, you guys need to talk.
Steve Jobs was that.
Yes. Well, with Pixel, you look what he did with Pixar.
Yeah.
You know,
and he always said that Apple was the intersection in between the humanities and science or technology.
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't many Steve Jobs in the world, are there?
There needs to be.
Yeah.
We need to, you know, it's like, what did he do well?
Yeah.
You know, what did he do well? Let's do that, because that was very successful. And how did he interact with the creative community? You know, like, bring him in, include him. That, you know, guys like Will.i.am, very smart, you know, tech savvy you know, creative. These guys should be, you know, hey, just set up a dinner. Let's talk.
He's doing a smartwatch.
Yeah. He's into hardware. You know, I'm a little more into the software of it.
It's a little easier to be software, frankly. Hardware, you got to get a manufacturer.
I wouldn't want that.
It's crazy.
I have ideas, but it's like, you know what?
What would you do? Okay, let's just imagine you had a factory in China just waiting for your design. What would you do? A wearable? Would you do a wearable?
I would do a wearable. Yeah, I would do a wearable, something that's, you know.
Apple needs to talk to you because nobody has solved this, right? The glasses, that's stupid. The watch even really isn't quite it. I know, so you're not even wearing a watch.
No, I do wear a watch.
Oh, you do? But it's a wristwatch. It's a
real watch. Three time zones. Yeah.
Would a smartwatch appeal to you, you think? If an iWatch?
I'm definitely going to get the Apple watch. I think it's cool, but, you know, what will I use it for?
You can't make music. You can't make comedy. You can't.
Right.
It's the time and maybe how many steps you took.
Right.
And, oh, your phone's ringing. Now you have to get your phone out of your pocket. So what have you saved?
Right. So, hello? Hello? I'll meet you at the... Yeah.
But we get used to that stuff. Remember when the big phones came out and people always laughed that you had this giant phone? Now it's normal. Taking a picture with an iPad? It's the worst. Nobody should ever do that.
Though.
But it comes out good.
Yeah, that's why we do it.
No, you're not an iPad picture guy, are you?
You know, my apps are designed to work.
They work on iPad.
Yeah, yeah. So
you said you love the iPad. You still use it?
I got the iPad.
So you got the big six
now.
Six
this
plus.
This kind of has taken the place for me of the iPad.
Yeah.
So I have an iPad.
But you don't.
I use
that.
This more because
that does everything.
It's a big enough screen that I could watch. You know, videos and be satisfied, and it's small enough that I can put it in my pocket.
Right.
You know, next to
my heart.
VHeads
is your third app, right? You had next to your heart.
Video.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
That's a wearable.
Yeah. So Didio.
Didio is the second app, right? What is that?
Yeah. Didio is a pocket studio, basically.
Put life in music, it says.
Right. So the idea is we shoot all this video, right, throughout, and we keep it on our phone, and you never look at it again.
No.
So with Didio, you know, here's a use case. You go to a wedding, and you want to shoot your friend's wedding.
Right.
We used to do Polaroid cameras. They'd be on the table, everyone shoot it, right?
Or the little disposables. Yeah.
Right. So typically you go to the wedding. You have it, and everybody has fun. Then you go off on your honeymoon, and 6 weeks later, you get your video back, right?
Maybe.
Right?
20 years. I'm still waiting for the video.
Really? You haven't gotten yours back?
No.
The
woman who took it, she still says, I'm editing it. And by the way, my wife and I have divorced, and still she
hilarious.
Says, I'm editing it. 20 years later.
Right. So imagine... Imagine
let's get it sooner than that.
So this is the Didio. You go in,
okay.
You pick a song.
Yeah. Here, move it. Your head's in the
okay.
Yeah, there
I'm
you go.
I'm sorry. You That's go right. in, you pick the song,
yeah.
You decide where you want to play. That's a nice place. That's
Applause is always a good, place to start.
Right. So now I want to start shooting.
Okay.
I want to zoom in.
Okay. I like this.
Now I can change filters. Look, changing filters just by doing this.
Oh, you're flicking through it? That's good. Ooh, make me green.
And I'm making a video. And now I go back.
Oh, so you could have, if it were a wedding, you'd have beautiful romantic music. You'd show the bride. You'd show the groom. Oh. So you're doing it all on the fly.
Yeah.
I like that. That's
fun.
You can
add credits. You can add.
So you don't edit it after the fact. You're doing it all while you're shooting it.
And you're processing the,
that's better.
The actual filter as you shoot.
So where do these ideas come from? Do you think of this stuff? Do you have people that work for you?
They're heaven sent. I'm using my 30 years in show business to go, all right, because a lot of my apps are, you know, video driven, right? Mm-hmm. And audio. Like, what's the best thing that I can, that I truly understand?
Right.
I understand how to make movies. Right. And I think that user-generated content is a good idea. It's just a lot of it is poorly executed. And they don't have the tools to make, you know, really good, exciting, and engaging content. So with Didio, there's 40 filters, right? And I can do this. So I can film right now. I'm doing that. Check this out. So what I did just now.
This actually looks like one of the best video programs I've ever seen.
Everything is done on the screen. So we're going to go back and look at it now. And I speed up.
Slide it a little to the left, if you would. There you go. I've made up my mind.
Speed it up, slow it down.
I love this. I'm going to have to play with this. And it's available Android and iOS.
Android and iOS.
That's neat. D-I-D-D-E-O.
Yes. D-I-D-D-E-O. And it's the upgrade. This upgrade, the speed up and slow down, I haven't published it yet, but it's coming. You'll get it in the upgrade.
How does this work? Do you have a building, a company filled with coders, or
no, I wish.
You outsource
that's,
it? Or what
that's
you-
the goal. I have a team that I've been working with for the past 3 years that I basically they work for hire.
Yeah,
but you know we have a great relationship, and I'm able to you know have a shorthand in terms of communicating what the idea is.
Good,
and,
good.
You know,
There is it. There it is on the iTunes Store by MIMS, M-I-M-S.
Money in my sleep.
That's the dream.
Yeah,
and living the dream. I'm guessing this is free. Wow. I'm guessing that at this point, are you making money on this, or is it?
It's not. I'm trying to build community.
These are expensive to make. These are not.
Yes, but instead of buying a Lamborghini, I'm creating an app.
Actually, you know? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so it's like, and I'm giving people tools to do great things with them.
Right.
And like I said, I'm buying assets instead of liabilities.
I like it.
Yeah.
And eventually, you'll make money in your sleep.
Eventually, someone's going to come along and go, "This is great. We want to buy you out."
Yeah. Really? That's the goal?
One of the goals, not for to buy out my company, but to buy out ideas. And stuff like that, you know, like Didio. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, when Apple bought Beats, really it seems like what they bought is the brains of Jimmy Iovine and Dre and Trent Reznor and the people who... it's a way of bringing the creative community in and saying, what could we do together?
Yes. And, you know, hopefully one of the things they'll do first is put Beats by Dre inside of here so that when I plug in my headphones, sounds whatever, accurate. The sound is like outrageous. The bass is great.
It should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some great technology in Beats, you know, and I think they also like their music streaming thing.
I think that's a lot of it. And I think it's partly to try to solve this issue of how do we make it so artists can make money and that so consumers get what they want. Which they clearly want streaming music. They're not even buying music anymore, really.
And they need to, you know, sexy themselves up in terms of some street cred.
Yeah.
I think Dre helps a little bit
with
that.
Yeah. You don't get the feeling he's spending a lot of time in Cupertino, though.
No.
I think he's in the studio.
No, he's probably in the Gucci right now spending up some of that money. But
yeah, but you know, $1 billion goes a long way.
Yeah, he's an awesomely creative dude, though.
Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so are you. It's such a thrill to meet you and talk to you. And you are touring now. You're performing.
I've been doing stand-up. You know, the thing is, I have to, like, there's the left and the right side of the brain. Left side of the brain starts to hurt after a while. And I need to do the stand-up because I'm using right brain to solve left brain problems.
Right.
So I need to keep that.
The creative
just
thing.
Just as active as possible and, you know, ready to, you know, be there when I need it.
Are you touring by yourself? Or are you with your brothers this time? Or
I was with my brothers over the summer. It was a lot of fun.
That was so cool.
But it's hard work.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather just go to a comedy club where I know I'm in the town. I'm going to be there for 4 days. I could sleep right and eat right. Because when I was working with my brothers, we're doing a venue every night. We're doing a different place. So we fly in, do press, go do the show, fly out.
I don't know how press, you do that. That's exhausting.
At 54 with.
It's crazy.
Yeah, not good.
You joke about your kids.
No, I don't. Yeah, I do all the time.
Yeah. Do they mind that?
Of course they do. But you know what? Hey, go write your book. You know? I'm trying to inspire
Daddy Dearest,
you.
It's coming, I think.
Get on stage and joke about me. I mean, it's okay, you know, because they are, I mean, you know, Cosby did it. Pryor did it. You know, it's part of.
It is. It's life. You got kids, and everybody identifies who has kids. They go, oh, yeah, you got the achiever and the, yeah, you got the whole thing. Yeah.
See, I try not to be too
mean. Yeah.
But I have to be honest because that's where the comedy lies.
Yes. Precisely. Do they understand that?
No. But they know when I die, there's an inheritance. So.
Just don't spend all that money, Daddy, on apps. Yeah. So nice to meet you. Really a thrill.
It's my pleasure.
I look forward to it. V-Heads comes out Friday.
Friday.
And if people want to, can they go to your website if they want to see where you're going to be performing next? Where can they find out?
I don't even.
You don't even do that?
Do that, no.
Just, there's a thing called Google. Search for Damon Wayans.
Yes.
You'll find the next performance.
Yes.
In a town near
I'll
you.
I'll be in Seattle. Paul Alive.
Good.
Cool. Not this week.
So, but you don't do it every day now. It's like a week and you go home, you relax.
Right.
That's better.
Yeah. Like Danny Glover, I'm too old for this.
Living in a hotel is no fun.
Ugh.
No fun at all. So nice to meet you. Thank you for coming
by. My pleasure, Leo.
Really
thank
appreciate
you for having
it.
Me on.
Oh, it's great.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. And thanks to Naomi Pierce who brought you. And good luck, Seth. Son-in-law.
Yeah.
He seems like a nice boy, except for the Seahawks hat. That is not good. And then he says he's a Steelers fan, so I can't figure that out at all.
He's confused. We got...
You told me you was a San Francisco.
I'm a Niners fan.
You told me you wasn't even a Giants fan anymore.
No, I am still. I'm both Giants and Niners. How can you not be a fan of the World Series winning San Francisco Giants?
Well, we have more Super Bowls than you for one.
Oh, shut up.
Just shut up. Go away. You can go away now. This interview is over.
Get this son-in-law out of here.
Don't keep him out of here. You know he's going to joke about you.
I'm doing
it. He does.
He's down with it. Hey, thank you so much for being here, Damon Wayans. Really fun.
Thank
we do
you.
Triangulation every Monday, 11 a.m. What a way to start the week. This is such a great way to start the week. 11 a.m. Pacific, that's 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC. If you want to watch live, we'd love having you in the chat room. We can give you a little, steal some questions from you, things like that. If you can't watch live, we make on-demand audio and video always available. After the fact, twit.tv/TRI. It's on youtube.com/triangulation. And, of course, you can get it in your podcatcher, your favorite podcatcher, iTunes and Xbox Music and all of that. And don't forget, Damon's great apps on the App Store, Android and iOS. I like that. I appreciate that. You got Didio, you got Flickdat, and something exciting is coming Friday. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Triangulation. Fun.
Yeah.
I hope you don't mind. We kind of wandered all through the time and space.
It was fun.
Yeah, thank you. Really fun.
I don't want to leave.
Stay. We could talk another hour. No problem.
Where was your show? What?
Cobbs.
Cobbs is great. Yeah. Yeah. Well, fun.
That's
a small house, though.
Yeah.
You don't mind that?
No.
More intimate.
More intimate, and I'm trying to work out stuff because I'm probably going to end up doing a special
for
HBO. but I'm just trying to, you know, you can't, if you, I don't believe that you can hone your act in front of 10,000 people.
No.
You can hone it in front of, because you can make mistakes.
Yeah.
There's less pressure.
Yeah.
It's more conversational.
Steve Martin talked about that. He said, I did, you know, I grew my career 5.5 years. I did 3.5 years in stadiums, and that was it. I did not want to do it anymore.
Right. It's too much pressure.
It's, well, and also, it's not, there's no connection with,
right,
you know, a mass of people like that.
You just, I don't know how guys like, well, I do know how guys like Mick Jagger and them do it.
Cause must be tough.
It must be drugs, because you just, there's no way.
Interesting.
You can humanly put out that kind of energy to, you know, 50,000 people night after night.
Somebody said when you go out on a stage and there's 50,000 people out there and they roar, you actually feel the breath of 50,000 people come across you. Like it's a, like,
it's crazy.
I don't know how you handle that.
He's been drugs.
Drugs.
Because there's no, like you said, there's no real connection. You're not looking people.
Can't
in
look
the
at
eye.
Somebody.
You got to create one big face.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but Cobbs, you know, there's somebody laughing there. There's somebody not laughing there.
Right.
And you're trying new material. So
yeah,
is every show different now, or
there are things about it that are different? I'm trying to lock in right now to what that hour is going to be.
So that's how you work. You'll do a lot of material and you narrow it down. That didn't work. That didn't work. This might work better this way. And then you get that hour, and it's a solid hour.
Right. And it has to feel like a conversation, that crescendo.
That, to me, is always, well, the main thing that always impresses me is just the sheer terror of you going out on the stage, and it's just you and those people, and you have to make them laugh. But I guess you started that when you were a kid.
I started, you know, 30 years ago, so it's not that, it's not intimidating.
Wasn't it scary when you were 25, though?
No. No. I think
it's terrifying
going in front of, you know, big theaters. You get that before the show nerves.
Yeah.
But I put in so much work, you know what I mean, that I know
you know you got material.
You know what I mean, the muscle's strong, and I know I can think on my feet, right?
Right.
It's when you aren't sure, and then you just go out of there because you're trying to do it for the money, and you don't hear them laughs where you think there's going to be laughs.
Oh, have you ever had a night where it just didn't?
Oh yeah.
You must have. Everybody does, right?
You have those. But
what do you do? I mean,
you grow.
It must feel terrible.
You grow. You think back and...
What did I do wrong?
What did I do wrong? I never blame the audience. I blame myself. So
that's good.
If I take responsibility and I go, oh, you know what it is? Sometimes you try too hard.
Yeah.
Sometimes that would be you're me. Trying to go out there and
I want to make
it.
Them laugh.
And it's like, that was wrong.
I didn't start succeeding in my career, actually, as I think of it, in radio until I didn't give a damn. There was when I really cared, it was a lot harder to be good. Well, you get to a point where you go, ah, who cares?
You know,
then you can relax.
It's in tech, it would be the Steve Jobs approach, which is the people don't know what they want.
They don't know.
You have to
it's your job.
You have to give them what they need.
Yeah. Do you know when you write a joke, you know that that's going to play?
I don't write them. I go up on stage and I talk.
And then you save the stuff that works.
And then and if it's good, I remember.
So you don't write it ahead of time?
No.
Wow. When you break in new material, you're just doing it.
Well, here's the problem. When you write it ahead of time, I used to write jokes, right? So you write it, and then you go up on stage and you perform it. It never gets better. You're never really embellished.
You're telling a joke. It's not...
Right. The end of it, the beginning, the middle, and end, and that's it. So for me, it's to take a premise on stage, and now I'm free to go wherever I want. In that premise. It's like your show. It's liquid. Let's flow wherever it goes.
Much more natural.
Right. But if
you see comics, there's still comics. I'm thinking of somebody in particular who you can see. They wrote that joke.
Yeah.
They're going to the punchline. They got the punchline. They got the laugh. Next joke.
Right.
It's not fun. You know what doesn't? You don't get, as an audience member, that bubbling up thing where you just can't. And you see something like Pryor and you just can't. It's like pretty soon what he's saying doesn't even have to be funny.
Right. And the funny thing is about if you read Richard Pryor's material, it's not funny at all. It's like depressing.
Dark.
But he was able to breathe life and animation into what he said with his voice, with his characters, with it. And you sit back and watch it and then read it, you just go, how did he pull that off?
And I've seen Pryor, you can't stop. It's like you're giddy.
Right. You're smiling because he's smiling.
Yeah.
He's saying, I'm okay.
Yeah. I set my head on fire.
You're right.
But
some crazy stuff happened, but this is what was funny about it.
It was funny.
All right. Sam Kinison was hilarious. Yep.
Yeah, that was a whole different thing he was creating.
There's a great documentary on this comedian named Bill Hicks.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Hicks.
I've seen the documentary.
That was a great documentary. Yeah. But Sam Kinison kind of borrowed a lot of Bill Hicks.
Yeah, that, Hicks never really made it.
Right.
But very self-destructive.
He didn't have the smile that Sam Kinison.
He said, it's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
He was brilliant, but he didn't. His presentation wasn't infectious. Sam Kinison had that little that little laugh he would do after he scared the hell out of you, you know? And it just was a, it was just a better, I don't know, a better selling of darkness.
Boy, this is where you don't get this anymore on YouTube. You just kind of do it. And if you can get somebody who, like you, who has all this knowledge about how do you do it and what works, and it would just be so valuable.
You know what I want to do? Here's what one of my, I want to do a, like Sinatra. Nancy Sinatra was doing a, I think it was a satellite radio show, where she would talk about her dad's music and where he was at the time when he sang this music.
Oh, I would listen to that in a
heartbeat. You know, and to me, that's what is missing from comedy. What is the history? What is the, you know, what is the thought process of a comedian when he's going to? Why was Sam Kinison great?
Wouldn't
why was
awesome?
Richard great?
That's what I want.
Yeah.
You should talk to Sirius or XM or somebody.
I should.
It would be an, it would be amazing. And you just play cuts, and then you talk a little bit about it. Oh, bring in other comics. Talk. Oh, that'd be so good.
But stand-up is a very underappreciated art form.
Oh, well, it, is it?
Yeah, because
I think we appreciate it.
No, we use it, but it's disposable.
Yeah.
Because, like, with music, it's
You listen again and again.
Eternal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like your favorite song.
Yeah.
One-hit wonders can still tour.
Oh, yeah.
A comedian that wrote one good joke, there's no such thing as a good Nixon joke.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
You know what I mean? And it's so people look at it as disposable. Yeah.
Who did you listen to comics growing up?
Oh, yeah.
Who did you
like? Everybody. Richard Pryor, you know, George Carlin, Woody Allen, John Withers.
Jonathan Withers.
Jonathan Withers.
Yeah,
You know.
Winters.
Winters, yeah.
You know what's interesting? All those people, each of them are totally unique.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that's interesting about stand-up. It is you.
Well, when it's good, it's you. You know, Jack, Benny, and...
There are characters. People play characters. Like, Louis Black plays a character, Louis Black. But that's still a character, and there's some truth to it, I guess.
Yeah, but, you know, nowadays, here's the problem with technology and YouTube is, so I find people trying to record me while they're watching me, and I'm like, watch me,
be here,
and enjoy me,
be here, especially for comedy,
and don't publish my stuff before I say it's ready.
Well, that's a big issue with comedy, because your jokes will get stolen.
Your jokes will get stolen, or they become dated.
Right.
So if you put it up before I put it out,
you did that
exactly.
Yeah, I it kills me. I go to a concert, and nobody's enjoying the concert. They're all videoing it for their friends. It's like, come on.
And what do you do with that footage?
What do you do nothing with it. You basically killed your enjoyment of the moment for no reason.
I think they should make you put your phone
put the phone
thing.
Away.
Yeah.
We're going to see. I just found out that Stevie Wonder's touring and doing songs in the Key of Life, doing the whole thing.
That's an awesome
I
album.
Immediately bought tickets. I can't wait to see that.
Love in Need of Love Today.
Man.
What a great song.
But you're right. That song, that album will go forever. There's no end. It's timeless.
Right.
But comedy can't be timeless because it has to be.
There's a couple of timeless. Some Richard Pryor albums.
You'd listen to Richard Pryor, you'll always laugh.
Red Fox. Timeless.
Did you listen to the old, when you were a kid, the dirty Red Fox stuff?
I love Red Fox. I'm reading his autobiography right now.
Amazing.
Chicago Red.
Have you met him? You must have met him.
No, I've never met him. No, I went down to the set. I never met him, but I went down to the set when he was shooting. He's shooting Harlem Nights with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, cool.
But I didn't get a chance to meet him.
What fun that must have
been. He was old and broke at the time.
Yeah. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
I think that guy probably influenced everybody in your generation.
Because he did.
Those dirty records, which nobody, you couldn't buy, you had to circulate them and all that.
He had a record called Gotta Wash My Ass. That's how he said good night. I gotta go to the toilet. That's how he said good night.
It's just the greatest stuff.
Yeah.
It's just the greatest stuff. And it was kind of secret because you can't, what are you
I used to get spankings for listening to Richard Pryor and Red
Fox. Really?
My father, yeah. My
was your dad, not your mom?
Jehovah's Witness. He didn't.
Oh, like so he really was serious.
Very serious. And but we would, he'd beat us, we'd take the beating. That's how funny Richard was.
Take the beating. You can spank me, but I'm going to listen to it tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pryor, just amazing. Don't break the record. I've had a chat room. It's actually really an interesting experience. I've had a chat room with everything I do for 22 years.
Really?
So anytime we're on, I can see people talking. And there's usually about 8,000 people in there. So there's a lot of – it's, and you have to learn how to filter because a lot of it's, you know, just nonsense.
Rambling, right?
But we do – well, we moderate it pretty heavily. We try to – there's rules and we try to keep them in line a little bit, on topic mostly. But what's great is there's this kind of two-way – a little bit breaks the fourth wall. There's a little bit of a two-way thing, which is great.
Well, I think people can, like, kind of emotionally invest in what they're watching only because they're
right
there for the experience. And right, hopefully they may get included in the conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I name names.
All right, we are good.
As weird as all those names are. But, yeah, no, I think that that's part of – I mean, if you're going to do it in the internet. But so now, still, most podcasts and most of our shows, the largest – portion of the audience is downloads.
Yeah.
But if you can get this live thing, well, you know, because you perform before a live audience. There's something that goes on.
There's nothing better than live.
It's great.
Yeah.
And there's no take two, which I really hate.
Sometimes you wish there was a take two.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. But you kind of got to give that up, right? I mean, it's right, like, well, that's it. In a way, it's freeing because
the adrenaline rush is so amazing. I think about TV back, you know, when the golden age of TV with, you know, Milton Berle and, you know, and Jack Parr and how they did, they used to wing it, and it was brilliant to watch them. You know, I go back and I watch the classics. If you want to be great, you got to watch the greats, right? Yep. And it's just they were able to think on their feet and just, you know, make magic. And they had an hour.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's live.
And it was live. And most of the time, they were just making stuff up.
That's amazing. In Living Color felt live.
Yes. Yeah, we would film in front of a live audience, you know, so, you know, the difference in being, so we were live to tape so that we could edit out stuff that, because we never knew what we were going to say.
Stuff happens.
Yeah, stuff happened. A lot of stuff happened.
Is any of that stuff still around? Like, you could go back and look at a blooper reel or?
Probably.
YouTube's ready for that.
It's just, I don't know.
It'd be great.
I think it would be great to bring the show back myself, but.
Awesome.
Not with me in it, with a new group.
With your son.
My son would be amazing in a show like that.
Are you going to a developers conference?
Yeah, I'm moderating a panel.
Awesome. What's the panel on?
Creating global experiences for multi-screens in apps.
Wow. Global, international?
Like me, I'm probably saying it wrong, but basically how to create a great user experience
across multiple screens. Yes.
Globalization.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Apple's doing now with the handoff and continuity.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool, but I'm not a big fan of the cloud thing.
Yeah.
Without my permission, I want to say, I want to put this in the cloud.
Well, because you're a public person, it's got to be a little scary because you're a target. And it's a little. I can imagine how. I don't even know how you survive. Like you can't. Can you go down the street? You can eat in a restaurant and people don't bug you? Or?
I mean, basically, people just want to say hi.
Right.
Now,
so you say hi back.
Right. So there's a degree of how much. Like time and energy, I'm willing to give to anyone because everybody thinks they're the only person that recognized you.
You could never get from point A to point B because you could spend
all day trying to make people happy, and you just can't.
It's right.
Things, and then people don't care. You know, if I have a toothache, they still want to take the picture.
Yeah,
it's like I'm really in pain. I don't care. I care.
So what do? You say hi.
I say hi, and I keep it moving.
Yeah, keep moving.
Yeah,
yeah. And you have people like Seth. You have a handler.
It's just, like I said, people want to say hi. You say hi, you keep moving.
Yeah. Hey, it's such a pleasure.
My pleasure.
We're going to steal that mic off.